Welcome to The Pipeline, all things CICD and DevOps podcast by the CD Foundation. I am your host, Jacqueline Salinas, and in episode 9, we have Andy Grabner joining us from Dynatrace. Today, we are going to be speaking about event-driven DevOps with Kepton, the end of the monolithic delivery pipeline. While software architects have broken their monoliths into event-driven service architectures, many pipeline architects still try to apply a monolithic pipeline approach to deliver these new architectures. This results in constantly outdated pipeline code, tight integration of process and tools, lengthy diagnostic sessions to fix broken pipelines and put strains on the underlying resources that build, deploy, test, and validate. In this workshop, we introduce a new approach, event-based continuous delivery, which decouples the declaration of processes from tooling. It uses a everything-as-code approach, which includes deployment, testing, quality gate, observability, and promotion definitions. One open-source project which implements this new approach is Kepton. Andy has over 20 years of experience as a software developer, tester, and architect, and is an advocate for high-performing cloud-scale applications. He is a regular contributor to the DevOps community, a frequent speaker at technology conferences, and regularly publishes articles on blog Dynatrace.com. In his spare time, you find him on the salsa dance floors of the world. Welcome, Andy. Today, we're going to be talking about the end of the monolithic delivery pipeline. But before we dive into that, let's talk about your DevOps journey. It's how we kick off the pipeline each episode, and we talk about your journey into the DevOps world. Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. My journey started, I think, a little unusual. I mean, my background is a software engineering background, but DevOps, I was really pushed into DevOps by our marketing team because I always had a DevRel role for performance engineering, so a developer relationships role with my employer. And years ago, I think it was back in 2012 or 13, I don't remember exactly the time. But they said, hey, there's a meetup and we want you to present. It's a DevOps meetup. And I said, what is DevOps? And then they said, well, you go figure it out and tell them something. So this was kind of my being thrown into the cold water, speaking in front of a DevOps meetup group and having no clue about DevOps. And the best thing about this, I think it taught me a big lesson because I was called out on it about after 2 minutes of opening up my mouth on stage. And I always tell these people because it's a life lesson for me. There was a guy sitting in the first row and he basically said, hey, you have actually no clue what you're talking about and why are you presenting and wasting my time? And this was a wake-up call for me to take this more serious and not just... just do something and pretend that you know something about the topic. And that's also the advice that I give to people, right? If you are standing in front of people and if you want to talk about a topic, then make sure that you really know something about the topic and don't waste other people's time. So that's why after that, I was fortunate enough with my job to travel. I met Goranka Biedov. She was very inspiring to me. She used to be a performance engineer at Facebook, and she told me a lot about what they are doing in terms of automation. Then we at Dynatrace, where I work, we had a lot of automation aspects in our company and organization as we changed, and I picked a lot of things up what we did there, and then kind of took all these lessons learned and kind of added it to my portfolio of when I'm showing, you know, people on how to better automate delivery, how to bake monitoring and testing into the mix. So I know it's a long answer, but I think
that's... No, it was great. I mean, developers definitely do not hold back. Yeah, they are not kind. but thank you. Yeah, that was a great history of how you got into DevOps. So today we're going to be talking about event-driven DevOps with Keptin, the end of the monolithic delivery pipeline. So how does Keptin integrate or compete with other existing CI/CD tools such as Jenkins, GitLab, Pipelines, or Harness?
Mm-hmm. So I think I don't want to say compete. I think it's more complementary, and we try to level up existing CI/CD pipelines by providing use cases and capabilities that we have seen are important in modern day continuous delivery and also automated operations. So I would say most of our users are integrating into, as you said, a Jenkins into a GitLab by calling the Keptin APIs. And there's actually two ways of integration. The simplest way of integration is let's take the most prominent use case that people are currently using in Keptin, which are quality gates. So we have so-called SLI and SLO-based quality gates where Keptin automates the retrieval of quality data from different tools, monitoring tools, testing tools, and it then compares these metrics, this data to your SLOs, and then it gives you a deployment score. And you can call or trigger this capability through an API call. So once Keptin is set up and as part of your delivery pipeline, let's say from Jenkins, you say, Keptin, I just deployed, I just executed tests. Now you go off and do your evaluation and then return to me your result, your evaluation score. So that's very straightforward. You just call it, you get a result back, and you have a certain step automated. And I think this is one of the most prominent use cases of integration. So adding a capability to your pipeline that you didn't have before, like automating quality gates. The other option is you can also let Keptin orchestrate a process, let's say continuous delivery. So for Keptin, a continuous delivery process starts with a configuration change, then a deployment, then testing, then evaluating, and then potentially promoting. Now, Keptin itself doesn't do anything. Keptin is just orchestrating events. And therefore, you can say, Keptin, I want to use my Git for my version control, right? So here's my Git. Second, Keptin, I want you to call my Jenkins pipeline for the deployment because maybe you already have a Jenkins pipeline. Then you may say, Keptin, I want you to call my JMeter test for testing because that's what I'm using. Then, Keptin, you can do your evaluation, your quality gate, because that's, as I said, a core capability that Keptin brings in naturally as part of the default installation. And then, Keptin, in case you think it's a good build, then you can call another pipeline or call Slack or whatever they're using to tell me about whether we should promote it, yes or no. So that means the second way of integrating with Keptin is having Keptin as an orchestration engine for the process, for the complete end-to-end delivery process, but then calling individual tools for individual actions.
I'm curious, how does Keptin fit into the interoperability story?
How does it fit into the interoperability story? I think, so first of all, as I said, Keptin is event-driven. That means the events we are sending internally that Keptin sends out are cloud-native events. And that means any tool that wants to interop with Keptin, the only thing that the tool needs to do is either send a cloud-native event to Keptin to trigger a certain process or tell Keptin about a certain event, or it can consume an event by becoming a subscriber to a particular event type. So I think this is the way the interoperability works, right? The only thing you need is if you want to integrate a certain tool, then you either send a particular event to Keptin so Keptin knows, hey, delivery just happened. Somebody delivered a piece of software. Now I kick off my process from the delivery has been successfully done, and then Keptin does its thing. Or you can say, you know what? I'm a testing tool, and I would like to be notified in case Keptin needs somebody to execute a functional test or a performance test. So I'm subscribing to that event. Okay. And that means that interoperability, that integration between Keptin and the actual tool is really done through these cloud-native events.
Okay, got it. So what is required to run Keptin?
What's required? So Captain itself, right, we built it initially on Kubernetes. That means we are relying on a couple of Kubernetes capabilities. We are deploying into a Kubernetes namespace the different components that we have, whether it's the Captain's API, the bridge, the event controller. There's a couple of components. So it requires a Kubernetes cluster. However, we are supporting different, you know, flavors of Kubernetes cluster. If you go to captain.sh, you'll see our support metrics, whether it is you run your Kubernetes cluster yourself, whether you use one of the cloud vendors' offerings. We also support OpenShift. Also support, let's say, lightweight versions of Kubernetes like Minikube and Microkube. And we also are currently experimenting with keys. So I think it's spelled K3S. So we want to make it as easy as possible for people to install Captain. But as of today, Captain needs some type of Kubernetes flavored platform.
And what have you learned from your early adopters?
I think a couple of things. First of all, I think we were all really surprised and happy, obviously, that Captain was received well overall, because we are solving problems that people have, like the quality gates. Having a tool that is automating tasks that others have, you know, obviously some people have and some tools have implemented quality gates in a similar way like we've done in Captain, but making this available as an open source implementation was extremely well received, especially with the extension option from Captain to other tools. So Captain is not, bound on, let's say, one monitoring tool or one testing tool. Thanks to its event-driven architecture, you can have Captain look at any different data source and then come up with a quality gate score. And that was really well received. I think the other things we learned, while, you know, obviously Kubernetes has been around for a while and a lot of people know Kubernetes inside out, I think a lot of people that we have worked with are still struggling with that new technology. So I think we have a lot of people that were, I would say, eager to learn a new platform, but then also ran into Kubernetes-specific challenges before even being able to play with Captain in with all the features that they wanted to try. So I think what we learned is we need to make it as easy as possible to get Captain up and running. That's also why, as I said earlier in the beginning, we said you need a Kubernetes cluster or, you know, some Kubernetes cluster from the cloud vendors. But then we said, okay, we need to provide a very easy version of it. Let's say Minikube, Microkube that you can run on your laptop. Because A, it is easy, and B, it also costs, right? While it is easy to stand up, let's say, a Gke cluster or an EKS cluster, eventually, if you keep it running, it is costs. So that's why we also learned we need to bring the footprint down, and we need to make sure that something like Captain can run on very, let's say, minimum hardware requirements.
Thank you. And besides delivery, Captain, it also seems to focus on operation use cases. Can you elaborate on how that works?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's actually, I think, one of the things we are really excited about, because while, you know, you also picked up in the beginning on continuous delivery and how do we integrate or compete with, while continuous delivery is one use case, the second use case, and we believe this is going to also show the strength of Captain, is what we call automated operations, where Captain can receive a notification, an event from, let's say, your monitoring tool that detected a problem in your production environment. Let's say a website is down or something is slow, a disk is full, I don't know, you have a high failure rate on a Canary deployment. Then Captain can consume that event through the cloud event. So you send that event to Captain with as much detail as you have from the monitoring tool about the root cause. And then Captain can automate the orchestration of the remediation. So Captain has a concept of a remediation file where as code, you can specify remediation as code, where you can say, hey, Captain, if you ever receive a problem on my service that I'm responsible for, and if it is related with a bad Canary deployment where you see high failure rate, then execute action X. And if it is a different problem than execute another action. So what Captain really does, it orchestrates the execution of remediation actions based on a particular incoming problem. And the nice thing again about this is we're following the everything is code approach. That means as an engineer, as an SRE or whoever is responsible for defining your playbooks, your self-healing, your auto remediation scripts, you define a set of remediation actions that Captain will then execute. But Captain doesn't just execute them, because this would then just be, I get an event to execute something and I'm done. Captain executes an action, is then evaluating if the problem has actually been addressed and fixed, if the problem is closing, if the system goes back to a healthy state, by also looking at your monitoring tool again. Most importantly, though, Captain is automatically reanalyzing and reevaluating your SLOs that you can also give to Captain. Now, if the problem does not go away, you may be saying, well, if the first action doesn't solve it, then let's try a second approach, a third approach. So you can have Captain execute multiple actions in sequence, always between these actions validate if the problem goes away. And eventually, if the problem goes away, obviously Captain will say, thanks, problem is closed. Send a message maybe to your JetOps solution. If it doesn't go away, it can then still escalate it to, let's say, a human being, again, via chat or whatever other tool you want to integrate through. And again, through the event-driven nature, you can integrate any tool. Now, what Captain also does, it will obviously take care of memorizing which problems came in, which actions solved or didn't solve the problem, so that we're not there yet in its current stage, but in the future, we want to become smarter with, okay, hey, this problem came in 10 times last week, and in 9 of the 10 cases, the first 3 remediation actions didn't do a thing. So let's just skip them at all and go to the action that always solved the problem. All right, so we want to also put some smartness in there. But I think that the real answer to the question, to kind of conclude this now, is Captain is orchestrating the execution of remediation actions, including validating that the remediation actions worked and brought your system back to a healthy state. And in both cases, it will notify you either about the success or it will escalate in case of a failure.
Andy, thank you so much for your time. It's been great to learn about Captain.